Subbress.
On demand. Follow Subbress Radio on Twitter and Facebook now.
Subbress. The biggest hit Desi music show for your Saturday night. It's Desi Mashup with Akshay.
So he's a dancer, he's a singer, he's a choreographer. He's known for judging the reality dance show Dance India Dance and so many more. He joins me tonight for a chat about his amazing career and so much more. Give it up for the amazing Terrence Lewis. Bro, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you, Akshay, for such a lovely introduction. And to all the listeners of Subbress Radio, this is Terrence Lewis here.
Thank you so much, man. How is Mumbai?
Mumbai is getting warmer and hotter as we get ready for our summers. I'm assuming you guys are on your spring break right now.
Absolutely, man. You know, I envy you, right? Because it is still cold and it's rainy out here in the UK, my brother. Send us some of the sun.
Well, I would love to send you because I'm going to be joining UK very soon. In April, I'll be a month in April in UK because I'm coming with my company to perform at the Manchester in Aviva Studios. And this show is happening in May and it's a big collaboration, first of its kind between India and China, and it's a contemporary dance production. So if you're in UK and if you would like to see my company perform along with the Chinese company on stage, first of its kind ever, the world premiere happens on 7th of May. It's Aviva Studios, Manchester. But I'll be in UK rehearsing for at least a month for this with my dancers. So I'm looking forward. And I hope the sun comes there too, because it would be a bummer if you have rainy weather there.
Absolutely. But Terrence, listen, it's your first time here on my show. Now, a lot of my listeners, a lot of the fans know a lot about you. But you know what? I want to take you back for some of the people who may not know of how your amazing journey started. So Terrence, man, you know, let's do a thoda sa of a flashback, right? How did it all begin for you, man? You know, how did you fall into this amazing world of dance and music?
Well, I was basically academically oriented all my school life and college. I was studying BSc and then I shifted to hotel management. And whilst I was doing that, I got offers to teach dance because I was, you know, kind of choreographing it by the by, very intuitively. I've never learned dance before that. So it was more out of just, you know, being this guy who always handles extracurricular activities. I was one of those, you know, student of the year type of a boy who would just win all the, you know, all the competitions. But back in the days, we didn't have any system of, you know, really learning or getting coached. It was just by the by, and you know, just watch and do and participate and you learn on, you know, on the go. But eventually I started giving dance tuitions house to house because it was a great way to earn money, because I came from a very, very poor family and we were 8 siblings and we lived in a 220 square foot house in Mumbai. And, you know, it was a great way to earn money, pay for my tuitions and, you know, for my college fees and also my dates. So I was very happy going house to house teaching dance, and it was a great career. I never thought it was a great career then, but in my head I was like, yeah, I'm studying hotel management, I'm going to become a flight person, I'm going to join the hotel industry. You know, dances, and my parents always told me dance is for rich people, it's a hobby for rich, it cannot become a career. And we also come from a very scholastically inclined background, because, you know, my father and mother were uneducated, so they were like, education comes first, and, you know, your job is very important, a secure job. And dance was very frivolous then. However, by the time I finished my college, I had a lot of students, you know, learning from me house to house, and I felt that this dance was basically opening its arms to me and, you know, saying, welcome, come to this world. And I somehow felt, you know, I should take a risk, and I took that risk. And, you know, it went up and down my career graph when it comes to dance. I went into fitness and then eventually a little bit of modeling, and then, you know, going back into fitness, and then, you know, getting introduced to all the big ladies, you know, the first ladies of Bollywood through fitness. And that's how I got my first break in Lagan, where, you know, because I knew Reena Khan, I was training her, and she was the producer of Lagan, and she was also the ex-first wife of Aamir Khan, then now ex. So these kind of contacts happened by the by. I never planned it. It was not like I want to get into films, I want to become a choreographer. I was just like, can I put bread on the table? Can I, you know, be independent financially? And it was a very small dream, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger as, you know, as I worked and, you know, people came into my life. So I never had a design. I never thought I'd be this or that. It just happened very organically. And, you know, I just went with the flow.
Wow, what an amazing journey. And I want to talk about Lagan just a moment. You know, for being, you know, somebody relatively new to the choreography scene, and when you got the gig for Lagan, did you feel, oh my God, I think I'm kind of out of my depth here. What am I doing here? You know, there's Aamir Khan here and all these other big actors. Well, you know, how much nerves did you have, you know, when you were on set?
You're absolutely right, Akshay. I was absolutely nervous and actually didn't expect that to happen. In fact, I said no to it because I was nervous, simply because generally, if you want to be a choreographer, for films, you need to first be a dancer in the film industry. Then you rise to the position of an assistant after 5 years. And then if you're lucky, you get a first break as a choreographer. So that's been the trajectory of every choreographer in Bollywood, from Saroji, who assisted, you know, Hero Lal Master or Sohan Lal Master, or to Ahmed Khan, who was assisting Saroji, or to Remo, who was assisting Ahmed. You know, if you see any of the choreographers, that's their journey. You first are a dancer, then you're an assistant, and then you get your job. So, you know, I was 26 or 25, and I was fully into teaching dance house to house and having a studio of my own. I was very happy shifting from there. I didn't succeed so much in dance. I went into fitness, and fitness opened doors to me to the Bollywood industry, because a lot of women there, and, you know, the actresses or their wives, Madhuri Dixit, you know, Amisha Patel, they were all my clients. And I thought I was still on the sidelines. I was just their personal trainer. I was not into the industry circuit. So when this was thrown at me by Reena, who was the producer and the first wife of Aamir Khan, I told her, no, I don't know how to even, you know, say action. I know how to choreograph, but I don't know what it is to choreograph a film and how to direct an actor. I don't know what to say to the cameraman and how to design these shots. I have no experience in this. I mean, if somebody teaches me, I learn, but I don't know. So I said no to her. Then she said, no, you have to do this. It's a small scene in, you know, in the song, you know, where it's a waltz section. And I said, waltz? So I don't know waltz. So when Virina said waltz, I was like, okay, TK, I will learn the waltz and come. And then when I went and met Aamir and Ashutosh for the first meeting, Aamir dropped a bomb and he said, Terence, you know, since this Lagan is set in the 18th century, we want to would like to do the Viennese waltz. I was like, Viennese waltz? I don't even know if there's a country called Vienna, you know? I mean, I know and I don't know it. That kind of, not that I was, you know, I mean, of course I know, but, you know, it's like, oh, Viennese waltz, or there is Viennese waltz. I thought waltz was German and whatever. So, you know, I'm telling Reena, listen, you've put me in a soup. He said, don't worry, just say yes. I'm just nodding my head at the background, like, okay. And then I had to learn Viennese waltz, and I did. And then, you know, it was very nice that, you know, I was put, she said, don't worry, I will put you up with Anil Mehta, who's the cameraman. You stay in his apartment, because there were no hotels in Bhuj. Bhuj, where we shot, there were no hotels. There was an apartment system. So there were three bedrooms. He said, okay, I'll put you up with Anil Mehta, sir. He's a senior most cameraman, and you can talk to him and learn from him. And that's how I learned. So Anil Mehta, I went 1 week before I went on the set, and then for 3 days, I was just, you know, learning how Anil Mehta was using the camera. And then he saw me very curious. And then he told me, just read this book, since you're scholastically inclined, 5 C's of camera. This is what every cameraman should know. And that will finish your journey. I sat with it day and night, made my notes. And wherever we were shooting that time, another song, Ore Chori. And we had to integrate that a part of the walls too. So in a way, I got to see Bebe, you know, shoot and direct the song, and I kind of saw her from the sidelines and gained my experience, understood what a nagada is, understood when to call for 5, 6, 7, 8, understood when to call for the camera, understood, you know, all these things. And back in the days, there was no internet, right? So you didn't even have Instagram, or you didn't have social media or any kind of internet facility to see how a shoot happens. And if you're not from a filmy family, I'm not from a filmy family, yeah, you have no access, yeah, to all of this information, yeah, you know, so it was all by the by. And fortunately, things happened well, and, you know, Aamir and Ashutosh were brilliant, and they supported me, and, you know, the rest is history.
Amazing. You know what? It's just like in the movie where all the characters are watching the English play the cricket and learning. You did exactly the same thing by sitting in the, yes, in the sidelines.
Yes, it was my Lagan too. Wow. And I can hear somebody in the background saying, agar nahi karoge to duguna lagam lenge.
love it. But bro, from the movie choreography, you landed doing the judging for the amazing reality shows, Dancing the Dance, you know, being one of the most predominant ones. Talk to me about, you know, how you ended up, you know, on you know, being a judge on that show with Remo and Geeta.
That's an interesting story. To be honest, you know, Lagan happened in 2000. And then for 8 years, I was doing, you know, corporate shows. I was very, very popular in the corporate structure, because Bollywood was not something that I was, you know, naturally, you know, gravitating towards. I like to do creative stuff. And corporate was one sector which was, there was a lacuna for choreographers to do creative stuff. So I was a big time choreographer for corporate shows. I almost had the monopoly here. And I remember very much, very well, when they approached me. You have to know this backstory, that actually three other big choreographers were already approached to do Dancing the Dance, but they refused, because the choreographers wanted to, you know, only judge and not choreograph. And the format of Dance India Dance, if you know, is where you are given six contestants each and all of you have to choreograph all of them, their solos, their duets, which means you have to make almost like nine acts a week, which means you are never going home. You have to kind of design these acts, choreograph it, you know, in costumes, lighting, everything has to be done week after week for 3 months in a row, which means you have to keep all work aside and just focus on this. All the big choreographers refused. And that was the best thing that happened to us because we got that job and we were just rising that time. And we were small time. We had done small, I mean, we had done work in cinema. I mean, by then I'd finished 8 years in the film industry, but I didn't have that kind of body of work like the other senior choreographers had. But the fortunate and good part of this show was that they were allowing us as choreographers to actually choreograph. And somehow I was never happy with the film industry in that sense. I was never given the ability, the carte blanche to do whatever you want. And here we had amazing dancers who were willing to give their arm and their leg to really, really prove a point that they're the best dancers in the country. So for me, creatively, this was the best gap that filled in. So when this opportunity came, I jumped to it and I naturally gravitated towards it because I was already doing corporate shows. So for me, other choreographers like Remo and Geeta came from a film background. I didn't come from a complete film background. I was doing a lot of corporate shows where we had to completely theatrically see the whole show as one piece. And dance reality shows are all about dancing the whole piece 3 minutes in one go without a break. And choreographers generally come from a medium where they cut small cuts, 4 seconds, 8 seconds. So choreographing a full piece together, you know, with no connections put together because you can always have a camera cut was difficult for other choreographers, but not for me. And I was already coming from a background of teaching dance and mentoring students. So for me, mentoring, teaching, fine tuning was all a part of already the 15 years I'd given to this. So for me, it was an ideal fit and the show really worked very well for me. All the three seasons we rocked. Shakti was our winner second season. Raghav was close, almost the winner in the third season. So in so many ways, we created, and for me, Dance India Dance will always be a memorable piece of body of my, a great piece of my work, body of my work. And I have to say my assistants, Bertwin, Shampa, Mihir, you know, Nirav, Naren, these were all very crucial to make me who I am today. Without my assistants, and without their hard work, I wouldn't be standing here because a lot of their effort, a lot of their energy, and of course the contestants, we put out week after week, creating the biggest history in television history ever in reality shows. And it's a fact. Dance India Dance will be, and Saregamapa, these are two shows that will be iconic for the history of Indian, you know, television. And absolutely, I'm very happy to be a part of that.
Absolutely. They opened the door to, you know, all the other reality shows that we see now. You know, without a doubt, those shows were the pioneers, 100%, Terrence. I agree with you. Terrence, here's a question for you. What, in your opinion, makes a good dancer? Can everybody dance?
Everybody can dance because I have coined the ABCD in 2009 when I was doing my first tour as a teaching tour. I coined the phrase ABCD. Anybody can dance, which eventually Remo, you know, used my title to make a film. Yeah. And I do believe in it. Anybody can dance and everybody should do. But here's the catch and here's the fine print. Not everybody can become a dancer. And very, very few from those can even become a performer. And extremely, extremely few, like 1 in 1,000, are artists. So everybody can dance. Very few can become dancers. Even fewer can become performers. And even very, very few become artists. And there's a difference between all of these.
Of course. Moving back to Bollywood, you've worked with a number of Bollywood artists. In your opinion, who's the best dancer? You know, we've had amazing artists out there in the industry. Your Mithuns, your Govindas, your Hrithiks, Shahid, Tiger. And then you've got amazing, you know, female dancers as well. Nora's doing amazing at the moment. You know, right now, you know, in your opinion, you know, who's killing it right now?
Well, I always feel that people will come and go. But for me, Madhuri and Govinda will be the hallmark where even with less amount of exposure to understanding choreography, what they did was they took choreography, even if it was simple, and made it so beautiful. When you see a Dhak Dhak, when you see a Choli Ke Piche, and you see that there's a certain kind of a sexual undertone to it, and yet the aesthetic is maintained, both by Saroji, the choreography is, you realize how amazing Madhuri is in that song. And you realize the potential that in this, especially in Dhak Dhak, that I don't even know any background dancers to support her. It's just her in a barn in one location, one costume. So in a way, I feel that this is somebody who's an artist. So Madhuri for me, otherwise right now what happens is the choreography that we see nowadays is so full of dancers and a lot of production value, very high production value. So it's very glossy, it's very shiny, it's you know, it's really, really, you know, upped its game. And in that sense, it's very, the interior decoration is fantastic. Yeah. But the real architecture of it, I sometimes feel it's just repetitive and boring, and it doesn't have sustenance, and it somehow lacks emotion. Yeah. So it's great on the wow factor, but it doesn't leave me feeling anything, and it looks like one song from the other. So that's what I feel about choreography and choreography nowadays, because it's all chip of the old and new block. But in terms of dancing, who are great dancers, I would say in the new lot, I wouldn't say new because Hrithik is quite senior. Hrithik, Tiger and Shahid. Hrithik, Shahid, they are the best, in fact, because they're really, really gifted. And they're also dancers. You have to understand that Tiger and, Shahid and Hrithik primarily are dancers. They learned dance professionally, and they were dancing since they were 7 or 8. So, you know, you cannot disregard the fact that so many years, unknowingly or knowingly, you have spent with music and dance. You have to be able to kind of, you know, then enjoy what you're doing. You can see that very clearly. Whereas those who learn it for the job, you can see the struggle that they do. They struggle with it. They just do it because they have to do it, and they kind of just get away with it. You know, it's like, and they put the effort, not that they don't, but you can see that they are just doing it technically. They're just obsessed about getting it technically correct. They have don't really know how to enjoy it. They don't know how to make it their own. So it lacks, they're all very finesse and they're very good and they're tight, but I don't feel the sense of joy in them. So I feel it's important that they're all technically good, but they need to enjoy. Aishwarya is extremely gorgeous, and I say in dancing, she's very well placed because she's a classical trained dancer. Deepika Bloomi in Ram Leela, and you know, in how she danced, even Ghumar, brilliant. You know, and nowadays the kids like Alia and all the new kids on the block, they're very hardworking, they're very talented. And my only advice is they're so good and they have no tantrums. All these young kids, no tantrums. They're tantrum free. They're very hardworking. They come on time. Only I wish they could not focus. I mean, once they finish learning the technical stuff, I wish they could sit with it and marinate in it in terms of, you know, really enjoying the music and the lyrics and feeling it. I think the sense of feeling is gone. The sense of doing has come in so much more. But the sense of feeling in dance is not just movement. It's also about feeling it. So if you feel it, I will feel it too.
Just moving away from the music and dance just for a moment, Terence. I know, you know, you're a big philanthropist. I know recently you're really championing a recent campaign at the moment called Janwar. Can you tell me a little bit about that, Terence?
Well, basically, Janwar is for dogs and for cats and for basically all animals in general. It's basically cruelty against animals. So we're working basically to make sure that, you know, all these animals, the street, on the street, they get shelter, they get vaccinated, they get, you know, the females, you know, are neutered so that, you know, there can be a certain amount of control. And at the same time, you know, we can stop the cruelty. We can have a park, we can have some kind of facilitation center. So the whole idea of Janwar, because it's a play on words, Janwar is actually a war on the fact that, you know, crime against, you know, animals. In that sense, we also want to kind of bring in certain amount of awareness. And so I've lended my support to this. At the same time, I also have to think of all the, because I'm a non-vegetarian. So in that sense, I also have to think of what kind of cruelty am I doing in terms of expecting others to kill for me also. So, you know, I in one hand, I have to support this. And on the other hand, I have to also look at the other actions which probably go unnoticed because, you know, I don't see it in front of my eyes. So in so many ways, this joining the campaign has made me aware of, you know, how I'm living my life. And I feel almost like so guilty about, you know, the many things that we do, which we do for selfish reasons. And maybe we don't, you know, do it ourselves, but in some certain way we are, you know, in a certain way, we're silently supporting a certain amount of cruelty. So I'm really thinking about how I can be less cruel and less, you know, Machiavellian. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm the best person. All I'm saying is that I'm just trying to, you know, lend a supporting hand and hoping that, you know, we'll somewhere start with a few animals and then we can, you know, go towards all animals. And somewhere one day we probably will live a life where we don't have to, you know, treat animals like, you know, they're, you know, just like, that they're disposable or that they don't have any kind of sense of pain. And, you know, death is inevitable because, you know, it's the hierarchy of the food chain. But I think the way we do it and the kind of way we treat them when they're alive, those things I feel we need to look into. So not just dogs, but even other animals. So when I say this, that, you know, I'm looking for John, that I'm also at the same time looking at my own thought process and seeing how I can, you know, look at this aspect of my life and make small shifts and small changes. I'm also as much as a criminal as everybody else, but the idea is to become aware, and the idea is to kind of find a certain amount of sensitivity and find a midway. And we don't have all the answers, but I think by not speaking, by not saying, by saying, oh, you know, this is so overwhelming, you know, and I may have to change my entire life or whatever, and, you know, let me not do anything. In that sense, you know, we're being, in the sense, nothing is getting done. Even the little that could possibly do is not being done. So I just have to put a disclaimer that as much as I'm supporting this cause, at the same time, I'm looking at all other aspects also in a very, very, you know, holistic way. So yeah, this is an effort to reach out to everybody out there to stop the cruelty towards animals and how can we live in a less cruel world. That's it.
It's an amazing cause, and I think everybody most definitely needs to get involved. It's an amazing thing, Terence. Thank you so much for sharing that. But listen, before we wrap things up, Terence,
yeah.
Time is ticking. Now, you mentioned at the beginning you're going to be here in the UK. Just again, tell us a little bit about that and tell us about, you know, what else we can expect from Terence Lewis for 2024.
So, well, so you know, this is a very big project for us. It's happening in Manchester, and it's been commissioned by Aviva Studios, and it's happening in Aviva Studios, which is a big theatre in Manchester. And we'll be premiering, it'll be a world premiere of the show called The Accountants. And this is a show where six dancers from India, which are choreographed by me and Maruk Tomasia, my partner, and Shishin, which is a big time choreographer in China, with her six dancers will be coming together to make this production called The Accountants. A very interesting show. It goes into a lot of self-analysis, and it's a contemporary dance theater production where dance theater, media, and also, you know, music, and also, you know, a lot of relevant things of the today's world come together to find a way to resolve the situation that we are in today. I won't give you too much about it, but I will tell you it's a kick-ass show, and it's the first of its kind where two choreographers have remotely worked in their own countries and will come together 1 month before to stage the premiere in May. The premiere happens from, I think, the 7th to the 12th. 11th is the last show, and there are other shows happening later in other parts of the country, and it'll keep touring, but it's happening in Manchester. The premiere is happening in Manchester, and Keith Khan is the director, and we're very, very excited to kind of do this together in collaboration.
Well, Terence, when you're here in the UK, you know what? I most definitely am going to come and see you, and I'm going to give you the biggest challenge of your career, because I have two left feet. I want to see if you can make me dance.
Well, come for the show. We have a spot there where we're helping people dance. So maybe you can come on the show and do it. And yeah, and tickets are available for those of you who are interested. Tickets are available right away at Aviva Studios in Manchester. So in case you're in around UK and want to come and see the show, please do. It's going to be a fantastic show, and I can't wait to be in UK. I'm going to be in UK next month. For a month, so I'm going to, you know, very excited, and I really hope that we can get the sun along with us when we come there.
Absolutely, Terence, thank you so much for joining me this evening right here on Sabres Radio. And before we finally just wrap up, for all your fans who are locked in from around the world, you know, a final message to everybody.
I think with as much as I would say, like, all of us like to be powerful, but it's more important to be kind. So yeah, be kind to yourself, be kind to the world around you, and let's make the world a happier place.
Terence, thank you so much. It's been amazing. And you know what? Before we sign off, I'm going to play you a song right here on my show. You know, what song is there? You know, it could be an old song, could be a new song that, you know, right now really gets your juices pumping and makes you want to dance. What can I play for you, Terence?
There's a song, it's a very popular song called Papi. Okay? By Bobby. You have to listen to this song. It's a kick-ass track. It's just outstanding. If you can play that, it'd be lovely.
Amazing. Done.
The biggest hit Desi music show for your Saturday night. It's Desi Mashup with Akshay.